Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to So I Got to Thinking, the weekly Sex and the City podcast, where we take the timeless questions of Carrie Bradshaw and apply them to modern life and love. You are listening to Jack Rabbit, Dylan B. Jones, and horror, Juno Dawson. Hello.
The horror.
The horror. The horror. The horror. And they think you're a big horror.
I knew one of us was getting Jackrabbit as well. Mm-hmm. I've complained about the Jewish-themed puns before, but they did use them quite well in this episode, to be fair. Mm-hmm. I quite enjoyed them. So we're well into season six now. What is it, episode?
We're well in.
Episode 8.
I want to say episode 8, which is called...
The Catch.
The Catch. Yes. I'm going to say something shocking really up front. I was bored.
Oh, no. I was, Well, do you know what? It's interesting you say that. I wasn't bored per se, but I did at one point stop the episode and like think, how long is this episode? I paused it. And for a show that's like less than half an hour long, that's not a great sign,
is it?
That's
not good. Yeah, that's not good. I was distracted by my phone, realised, oh, fuck, you have to watch this for your podcast, and ended it rewinding it. So I kind of had to, I was, and for me, that is such the test of how a show is doing. If I pick up my phone, something is going badly wrong.
Well, for me, that's one of my only tests at the moment for movies, because we've said before, like with movies, like I've said, like anything but bored at this point. Like there's just so much out there at the moment with both movies and TV shows. Like my main thing is like anything but bored. Like shock me,
like
disgust
that.
Me, but as long as I'm not bored,
anything but bored. I'm going to apply that to my life and my career. thank you Dylan B. Jones. Anything but bored, please open your Potted synopsis.
I'm stumbling on my I was so bored that I can't do my Potted synopsis for the first time ever. So Charlotte's wedding is the end
again
of,
take two.
Yeah, take two is the big kind of thing that the episode's leading up to, isn't it? Charlotte's wedding, which is sort of entertainingly eventful. But we'll get to that. Miranda sort of is grappling with Debbie, with Steve's new flame, whose shoes and nails are both acrylic.
we'll come to that. That was not Miranda Hobbs's finest hour.
No, Miranda snobs.
On.
Miranda snobs. Mm-hmm. Samantha can't get her bracelet off. that's
wow, heavy stuff.
Heavy,
this week. Yeah.
Heavy societal issues for Samantha to contend with this week. And Carrie meets Jackrabbit. Carrie has bad sex again. And it's all kind of tied rather loosely to this concept of like catching. There are lots of kind of very tenuous themes about catching, people being a catch. Things catching
what's
on other
the, what's
things.
What's the question we have to answer this week? I was so bored I didn't even take down the question.
I think the question is actually not too bad. I think we can get some mileage out of the question. It
Which is what?
It is. When did it stop being fun and start being scary? So it's about like, yeah, and it's about like getting a bit older. Like the context of it, Carrie, was like when you're in your 20s, you're just reckless and blah blah blah. But then when you get a bit older, you start to be a bit more cautious.
It's so scary. Yeah, I'm going to say my husband and I are putting our house on the market. It's horrible. I don't want to do it. I just want to go back to being, I want to be 24 again and looking at horrible studio flats in Kemp Town for £490 a month. But like, it's too much responsibility. I don't like it. Move over, Brady.
And you just say Brady in his Krusty the Clown t-shirt, which was my favorite fashion moment from this episode. But yeah, like, you just adulting, like, it just always comes as a shock, doesn't it, every time?
Yeah, I don't like it, and I don't feel any older than I did in my 20s.
And I think I'm sure I've rabbited on about this before, because it's one of my favorite things to rant about, but it would help if because Chris and I are like doing some adult things at the moment, like thinking of buying somewhere. And in no way am I complaining to be in that very privileged position. But also, whenever it comes to these kind of situations, I'm like, it would be great if we learned things like this in school. Like,
yes,
I can talk about Motte Bailey castles and Oxbow lakes until the cows come home. But do I know how to buy a house? No.
As your elder, as your trans elder, yeah. I will say that it is reassuring to know that people do this all the time.
Yes.
And it's fine. That's why I'm telling myself that as much as you, because this was our first flat. So I've never sold a flat before. It's very complicated. But people do this all the time and it's fine. But you know, you're right. Like, it feels we weren't given the right life skills in school in so many ways. And at the time of recording, although at the time of any of our recordings, one of my books is under fire again. This book is gay. It's my book about sex education, I wrote that book to tell teenagers the things that schools were not teaching them, like for queer teenagers, like how to stay safe, you know, how to meet people, you know, how, you know, and, you know, so even when we do try to prepare young adults for the big bad adult world, you just get criticised for it, so...
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, because it's been a bit... it's been quite the furore recently, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's wearying. There's fuss in both North America and close to home as well. And, you know, a lot of it is straight-up misinformation. There was people... I'm off Twitter now, but people sent me pages that people are claiming are in This Book Is Gay about fisting. Like, if you are someone who has access to the internet, you can find out what fisting is in less than 10 seconds. But the fact of the matter is that was not from This Book Is Gay. I don't know what that paragraph was from, but there is no information about fisting in This Book Is Gay. And if there had been, it would have been age appropriate, because I would have said, if you see the word fisting on the internet, do not click that link because you are not ready for it. And so it just feels that it's not actually about the content, because the content that there is in the book is taken out of context and it's being willfully misinterpreted.
Yeah.
It's because it is a right-wing agenda.
Yeah.
Kind of. Which is, you know, that is one of the tricks of the far right at the moment, is to portray any liberal person as being a groomer. You know, whether you are, you know, watching Drag Race, doing drag queen story hours, whether you are, you know, letting kids watch Euphoria, you know, you're a groomer. And that is a very organized attempt. You know, that there are forums where groups are organizing and saying this is what to do to kind of shame people online. But I know that This Book Is Gay was written to make life easier for LGBTQ teenagers. And I read it because, you know, this gaslighting, it really got to me, you know, it got in my head and I was like, oh, did I accidentally write like a really sexually explicit book? You know, like, oh my God, have I accidentally written pornography? And so I got it out and it's so PG-13. Like, you would not even believe it. Yes, it's a little bit cheeky in places, but, you know, it's kind of... if my God, if you are using This Book Is Gay for pornography... treat yourself. Watch some real porn. My God, kind of. Yeah, so no, I've not accidentally written an inflammatory text, but it's just a technique of the far right at the moment. Ignore it. It's absolute garbage, and it's a lot of it's bots as well, I think. But anyway, back to Sex and the City.
Yeah, not a huge amount for Miranda this week. And I can also see what you mean about being bored. This is one of those episodes where it felt like they were slightly clutching at straws for storylines. They were like, right, we know we've got Charlotte's wedding. What else can we... what are we doing? What are the other characters doing? And the answer was not much, really.
It's interesting. This one almost rounds out a little trilogy with the last two episodes where you had... Harry proposing, then you had the sort of it wasn't really a hen do, but they were out to celebrate Charlotte's engagement, and then all of a sudden we're at her wedding.
Yeah.
So either this wedding was thrown together really, really fast, or we have had a little time jump from Berger. I wonder if maybe there was a little transmission delay in America. Maybe there was a Christmas break in the middle or something. I don't know.
Yeah,
but
possibly.
All of a sudden, we're fully at Charlotte's wedding, which is quite unexpected. Let's start, as ever, with Carrie. Now, Dylan, both of us have been journalists.
Yeah.
Have you ever been asked, for no obvious reason, to perform circus skills?
No, but if I had, I would have been fully on board with it. I once did the Crystal Maze as a to do a write-up of it. But that was because they were doing a Pride event. But at first I was like, why? This is so implausible. Like, why would a sex columnist ever be asked to do a trapeze? But then, like, you do sometimes get asked to do things that you would never otherwise be doing.
And this is your pre-influencer days as well. So kind of influencers get asked to do all kinds of crazy shit.
Yeah.
We have been asked to do crazy shit around this podcast.
That's true.
But this one could I understand what possible column Carrie was going to be writing about this kind of, maybe it was kind of like some sort of piece of the new ways to stay fit in New York.
Yeah.
A bit like one of those Guardian pieces where they sent different writers to do different things. So maybe like somebody else was doing hot yoga and somebody else was doing belly dancing, and then Carrie was being their trapeze woman.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought of, like that kind of thing. But it was, again, very tenuous. And there was like a sort of joke about swingers in there, like something about swingers. The main bit that made me balked at was the fact that it was 2 hours. She was like, 2 hours later. I was like, you've been doing that for what? You've been doing that for 2 hours, and Stanford's just like been sat there for 2 hours. Like,
yeah, why does she always drag her friends to this stuff? She's like, not a very independent person.
Yeah, and then at the end, all of them are there watching her do it, and it's like, just go by, like, and come on, let's be honest, you would only go once, wouldn't you? Like, you wouldn't go multiple times to this, like, trapeze thing.
Unless some of my friends do have unexpected hobbies. I'm a big fan of an unexpected hobby where your friend's like, oh, I can't, I'm going to my swing dance class. And you're like, okay. So maybe Carrie got a... maybe she liked the adrenaline rush or something, although... notably, she's not very good at it.
No.
In that she fails to make the catch. And then there is the adage about she has a safety net.
Yeah.
And it's her friends.
I feel like it was just all there as like a nice little narrative hook, wasn't it?
Yeah. Not a very interesting one.
No.
But Okay. So anyway, it's all an excuse because she is single and ready to mingle, and Harry sets her up with Howie Halberstein. Now, do you want to know my tea about Howie Halberstein?
Oh, I think because I did a little bit of last minute research as well. Yeah.
Well, so I got a random email from my American publicist a couple of weeks ago. Obviously, at the moment, because of the furore around This Book Is Gay, I'm getting all kinds of strange media offers from North America.
So this is Howie Halberstein, a.k.a. the Jackrabbit.
Brian Callen, yeah. Actor Brian Callen wanted me to go on something called The Brian Callen Show, which is his podcast. However, it turns out that he is allegedly really trash. He was accused by multiple women of rape and sexual assault in 2020. He was immediately let go from his role on The Goldbergs, which is a long-running 80s set sitcom in which he played a PE teacher. And he also had already achieved a level of kind of online fame through a podcast called The Fighter and the Kid, which was, I think, quite a big podcast that he did with an Ultimate Fighting champion. But basically, the reason he wanted me to go on his podcast was that he wanted to do a debate about trans issues. This is what he's doing now. So he's on the I Got Cancelled publicity tour, kind of. I don't know. These are all alleged things, but I think the fact that he has become, you know, a lot of the talking points on his podcast are quite right-wing. Kind of, he's appeared on, is it Joe Rogan's podcast?
Oh, wow.
Alarm bells, red flag.
Yeah.
So him being shit in bed in Sex and the City one time in 2002 is kind of the least of his worries. But so he comes with a major, major health warning, basically. And will I be going on the Brian Callen podcast? Absolutely not. No.
Shout out.
I have my own podcast, Brian, where I can say whatever the fuck I want.
Hi, Brian, if you're listening.
Allegedly. Well, it's in the public sphere. If you Google Brian Callen, accusations are there for us to read. I don't know what's true and what's not true, but the story is there for you to read on the internet.
Yeah,
so
it's right there.
Howie Halberstein, he fucked up Carrie's back, and then he went on to allegedly harm women.
Yeah. I did, as much as I hate to say it in light of what we've just said, I did find this storyline the most entertaining of the episode, largely down to SJP's brilliant, as always, awkward acting.
Mm-hmm. Should I tell you what I really liked? How gorgeous Sarah Jessica Parker looked at the rehearsal dinner.
Yes.
Where she's wearing like this gorgeous shirt dress, and then her hair is kind of very casually swept back into an updo. And she looks so amazing. Now, here's a mouthful, but she looks like how I want to look as a woman in my 40s, kind of, in that she looks really fashionable, quirky, but also age appropriate, kind of.
Yeah, and like very casual, like casual. And I think that's why, because it caught my eye as well. We very rarely see her in like a casual look, really. Like it's usually like really, really far one way or the other. Mm-hmm. So it'll be like either a nightie or like a ball gown. Like there's rarely like an in-between.
Yeah, it didn't look like a Carrie outfit at all, because she was wearing dangly earrings as well, and that she doesn't normally wear a lot of jewelry.
She looks quite boho, and she has done the boho thing before, but in like a very different way.
She looked like she was running a gallery or something. Quite Brighton-y. It was quite a Brighton outfit.
Yeah. And very like the sort of girl or the sort of woman who you might see at like a house party in Dalston, maybe. Like having like a glass of wine.
It got me thinking I should put my hair up more often.
Yeah.
That's what I thought, maybe.
Yeah.
But then she does shag Howie. And it's really funny.
It is really funny.
Because it is the bed shaking, the water
It's quite like, and I had sort of the same reaction as Stanford when she's telling Stanford about it afterwards, and he's like, "A straight man still allowed to do that with women?" And I was a bit like, when I was watching it, I was a bit like, "Oh God, like this is quite sort of extreme." Yeah, I felt bad for Carrie.
Carrie points out, and it's beautifully written, that they had sex like teenagers, in that he's really bad at it and she doesn't say anything. Which, yeah. Because now, as an adult, you just don't tolerate it. You would just be like, what are you doing? Like, no, not like that, like this. And so there's an argument there to say that Carrie, as a powerful sex columnist in her late 30s, should have taken control of the situation and never let it get that bad, kind of.
Yeah, and then it's weird. I expected her to say something when they're outside the wedding. And she does it, but she does sort of make an excuse, but she never, like, tells him. And I'm like, just tell him. Like, and then he's like, and this was very funny when he's like, if I knew you were just using me, I wouldn't have made love to you like that. And then her face is just like, what?
But I think, I know, okay, Dylan, have you ever been with a person who is clearly very impressed with their moves and, like, obviously someone has told them that they have, like, an amazing, distinctive, like, special move, and you're just kind of like, no!
But they're nothing of the sort. Yeah, I'm sure I have. I can't think of a specific example. Oh, I've had, like, people, like, saying things to me, like, during, and I'm like, don't,
like, what,
just like, it's when someone was like, oh, I can't believe this is actually happening, and I was like, don't say that, don't say that to me.
Was it from this podcast? Was it, I can't believe I'm having sex with Dylan from So I Got to Thinking?
No.
Could you pretend to be Juno next?
But yeah, well, so yeah, I know it's not exactly the same thing, but I know that ick, the ick.
Mm-hmm. I remember once a guy, this is so long ago, this is many, like 20 years ago, it was a man, he was a paramedic of all things, and he'd, like, obviously been told that this was, like, his special move, but it was like, sort of like an Usher dance move, but during sex.
Like with the pelvis, like,
yeah,
that.
There was like a pelvis thing. Like, no, not good.
I think
no.
I'd feel a bit kind of woozy if someone did that to me. I'd feel a bit like I'd just been on the waltzes.
Mm. Like, yeah, there was like a swirling motion. Yeah, it wasn't... No. In the words of Usher, not yeah. It was no. What was I waiting on about? Oh, yes. So, yeah, bad sex. Then she throws her back out. Now, I loved Carrie's look at the rehearsal dinner. What I did not enjoy was her look at the wedding. And if I was Charlotte, I would have sent her home to do her hair different. that hair is not going to be in my fucking wedding pictures, all right?
I'm so glad you said that. That, like, what is it, like, milkmaid? What did it... It reminded me of, like, a sort of traditional...
Heidi.
Yeah, traditional Austrian Eurovision outfit dress.
It's very that scene in Charlie's Angels where they're playing the tuba outside. Yeah. You know, where they're dressed as kind of like Swedish milkmaids, kind of. It's giving that, kind of. But no, there will be... I mean, thankfully none of my bridesmaids came to my wedding dressed as Heidi, so I didn't have to have words with anyone. But still... It was, yeah, again, not the look. No. I think now is as good a time as any to take a break. I mean, I don't know what else there is to say about Carrie this week other than, again, Sex and the City, always best when Carrie's single.
Yeah.
Because shit like that can happen. So well done. Thank you. Thank you, Carrie, for your services to comedy podcasts. And we'll be back in a minute to talk about Charlotte's wedding. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hello, welcome back to So I Got to Thinking. We're talking about season 6, episode 8, The Catch, where you are cordially invited to the second wedding of Charlotte York. And I would say this is very much a Charlotte episode.
Yeah.
Comedy gold in Central Park, teaching Harry how to smile.
Really, really great bit of dialogue when Harry's like, I thought the brief was to act natural. And Charlotte says, that's what I'm trying to get you to do. So like, just like so Charlotte, like trying so hard to make something natural that it just comes across as contrived. I enjoyed
that. Sitting on a Burberry blanket in the middle of Central Park. In suits, not smiling too much, and definitely not kissing, because kissing pictures are tacky.
But it
goes horribly wrong when a stray blob of ink makes Charlotte look like Hitler.
I mean...
Which, in the words of Harry, in fact, or no, Charlotte earlier in the season, well, now I can't say anything because you mentioned the Holocaust.
Yeah.
That's the end.
What do
you know,
we
when
say?
Somebody mentions the Holocaust, that's the end of that. but this all ties into the notion that, is it Harry or someone? Or someone who tells them that the more chaotic the wedding, more successful the marriage?
Carrie says that.
Okay. So obviously, you know, this, now we are going to throw back to season 3, where she had the perfect wedding to Trey McDougall. Beautiful Vera Wang dress, gorgeous, lovely bridesmaids, big church. Whereas now her second wedding is cursed, but we know that 25 years later she's still with Harry Goldenblatt. So yeah, maybe Carrie was correct.
Yeah, and they're happy for now, unless Che Diaz.
You never know, maybe next season Che Diaz will move over to Charlotte.
Oh my God.
Hey, it's Che Diaz, Charlotte.
You know what the scariest thing about And Just Like That is? I wouldn't put it past them. Like, nothing's off the table.
Oh, God. If they killed Harry, I would riot. One thing to kill Mr. Big. But don't you dare come for Harry Goldenblatt.
If they kill Harry Goldenblatt, me, you, and Clara Amfo are marching to the HBO Max studios in London. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they've got studios in London.
Well, while we're there, we can talk about their reboot of Harry Potter as well.
Oh my
fucking
god!
Hell!
Why? I just quickly, like Chris and I were talking about this earlier. Bearing in mind this will come out a few weeks, like I'm sure the news will have developed by the time this comes out. But I said to Chris, like, just why are they, apart from anything else, why are they bringing it upon themselves? Do they not realise how much of a ball ache this is going to be for them in so many ways? Like, I just...
It's depressing from a TV point of view as well. It's kind of, oh, fuck, yeah, let's just tell that tale again.
Oh, anyway... Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Thanks for that one.
Should we do an episode by episode podcast of it when it comes out?
No. No. There. I've said it. What was I going to say? Yeah, so everything that goes wrong, it's very slapstick. We have Samantha tossing pearls everywhere, showgirls moment.
Yeah.
She spills wine down herself. Harry can't break the mezuzah. What else? Oh, my favourite bit is Cynthia Nixon's acting during her speech, where she's delivering a really heartfelt speech and then just screams and screams and screams like comedy gold. I don't know if Miranda has ever shrieked before.
It's one of those. Great. It's one of those where you can tell like it's a slight mix of like the actor like slightly freaking out as well, because the paper like really does go up very quickly. And you can see her being, you can see Cynthia Nixon being a bit like, oh Christ.
And then Anthony Marantino's, nice speech though.
Sorry, hon. Sorry, hon.
Great speech though.
That was a great. It really picked up like towards the end. It was a great sequence, the wedding.
The wedding sequence was lovely. And Howie's drunk speech as well.
That was good. And one of my favourite bits about it was after Carrie kind of gives Charlotte the pep talk in the toilets. Mm-hmm. Charlotte just kind of like accepting it a bit and being like, oh, okay, fine. Like even when her dress starts dragging in like what is presumably pee, she's like, oh, she like just sort of laughs. She's like, what else can, like it's got as bad as it's going to get. I'm just going to go with it.
And she doesn't fall off the horror in the end, so that's fine.
And that's why it's an effective scene, because you expect things to, like, I remember when I first watched it, my anxiety with Harry with the mezuzah, I was like, some glass is going to go through his foot or something, like it's going to be so bad.
I think now, if we were to retouch on this wedding in And Just Like That, I think Charlotte would be really pleased with the day she had, because I think, to be honest, in the end, what you want from your wedding is some lovely photos, but more than that, memories. I think stories. And I think that Harry and Charlotte, when they are talking with Lily and Rock about what was it like when Mummy and Daddy got married, I think to be able to tell the stories that, oh, it was a disaster, Howie Harvestine was drunk, Miranda caught fire, Samantha's bracelet flew across the room, you know, how wonderful to be able to have those stories to pass on to Lily and Rock. And I think that's really amazing.
That's true, actually. That's a really good point.
Yeah. Like when Max and I mull on our wedding day, you know, we tell stories. And I think I can't tell you a story about Charlotte and Trey's wedding. And
no.
That's because, well, other than the fact she nearly didn't walk down the aisle, but, you know, because he came on her the night before by accident. But I suspect 20 years later, Charlotte probably thinks about her wedding day very differently.
Yeah, that's a good point. And yeah, like I think that, if you're trying to, and it makes total sense that Charlotte was trying to do this, but if you're trying to plan everything too like rigidly, then yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's better that it's eventful.
Yeah.
I loved her dress. I thought it was lovely. Very elegant.
Yes. Mm-hmm. What was they called? It Audrey Hepburn, a witch.
Yeah,
be very beautiful. And the veil was very gorgeous with the scalloped edge.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know really what there is to say about Samantha in this episode other than the fact she gets trapped in a dress.
Yeah.
And this is ridiculous, because as somebody who has been trapped in a dress, do you know what you do? you go and knock on somebody's door. Or I once got a girl on reception in a hotel to zip me into a dress as well. David Ames has zipped me into a dress on the way to the Attitude Awards. You know, kind of, there is always someone willing to help you with a zip. But you don't need a coat hanger or Smith Jared. It's fine.
Yeah, again, clutching at straws slightly with the storyline. It was because it was a catch, like a catch on the bracelet or a catch on the, like, so tenuous. And like, I'd rather than you tying it into the title of the episode that tenuously, I'd rather just have an interesting storyline that wasn't to do with the title, to be honest.
Yeah, maybe there was something else. Maybe cause by this point, obviously, we know things were not good. Maybe Kim Cattrall had nixed some insane plot that she wasn't happy with or something. I don't know.
She does get a good line. She says, "You are insane for getting into a harness without even the hope of an orgasm to carry," when she talks about Samantha is a Vauxhall gay.
Yep. Well, you'd be hard pressed to find a sling in Vauxhall now. All the sex clubs shut down. So,
have you seen the old chariots, the news about the chariots in Vauxhall?
No, is it going to be Beth, Bad and Beyond?
So for listeners who don't know...
Pottery Barn.
For listeners who don't know, Chariots is a gay sex venue, sauna, was in Vauxhall. And it's getting turned into a spaceship escape room.
Oh my God. May the ghosts of chlamydia past haunt you, is what I say.
Everyone in there gets crabs.
Right. When I heard that Chariots at Vauxhall was closing down, I was like, that's really sad for the area.
Yeah.
End of an era.
Yeah.
You know, kind of, Vauxhall was a thriving gay community, and the fact it doesn't have a sauna, because Hoist went as well.
Yeah, yep.
You can guess probably what happened at Hoist. is fire still going?
Yes. Yeah. But
I mean, the RVT is there, and the RVT is a protected building, but still, imagine there not being a sauna in Vauxhall. Ridiculousness.
I know. Like, how...
Gentrification is bullshit.
How dare they? I used to love... It used to always feel particularly kind of, I guess, cheeky coming out of the sauna and then seeing, like, the MI5 building, like, directly opposite. It was great.
Well, not as cheeky as seeing all the staff from MI5 in Chariots.
Also in the sauna, yes.
Yeah. Well, that's why I have a question now. So does that mean, I mean, this might get edited out, but does that mean all the Chariots have shut? Because the one in Shoreditch went years and years ago as well.
Yeah, so they're all gone now,
Chariots,
I think.
Is no more.
Yeah, they're all gone.
Mm.
Yeah.
Sucks. Or
it doesn't
suck. Boo. Let's wrap up with Miranda, who I am going to pick a bone with Miranda, because shaming Debbie for her nails and shoes is bullshit. Steve, once upon a time, was a bartender, Miranda, and you effectively gentrified Steve Brady by introducing him to wealthy investor Aidan Shaw. You dragged him into your highfalutin life as a lawyer, and now are criticizing him for having a working class girlfriend. Which?
And I think it's a deliberate decision from the show, though, to make her more threatening to Miranda, because and it's kind of a clumsy way of doing it, but like they've had Steve kind of date someone who's like very different from her, but also quite similar to him, so maybe that's why. But yeah, like the snobbery is apparent, isn't it? With the candle.
And I believe further down the line, we found out that she is a Latinx woman as well. So she's also a woman of colour.
Yeah.
So, not a great look.
No.
And then also criticising your poor housekeeper / nanny for failing to sweep under the bed. Not a great week for Miranda.
Also, while we're bashing Miranda, I wasn't sure about that purple dress either. It was a bit like Disney villain. The purple dress that she's wearing.
Oh, with the high collar thing.
Yeah, odd.
Was there a high collar?
Yeah, there was a high collar. So yeah, bad week from Miranda this week.
Bad week from Miranda. Although, no, I mean, But then actually, even Debbie buying her the candle and her being
she bought me a
fuming
fucking,
at receiving a candle.
Oh, like, yeah. And then Samantha wow. says women with candles have replaced women with cats as the new sad thing. Women
well,
with candles.
I think we've come full circle now, because actually, if any show popularized the diptyque candle, it was Sex and the City. Like, I didn't know what the fuck a diptyque candle was before Carrie Bradshaw had them. So if anybody was responsible for the kind of the mass marketing of scented candles, it was this show. So
oh my god, and also Miranda has a cat.
Yeah, Fatty.
Yeah, so like Samantha's like, have replaced women with cats as the new sad, like Miranda has a cat.
Oh, wow. Yeah, harsh. Yeah. Wow, yeah. She now has a cat and a candle, so Miranda's fucked. I thought that was very ungenerous of Miranda throughout.
Yes.
Does she? Obviously, I was playing on my phone. So at any point, does she have a moment of self-realization where she reflects on the fact this is everything to do with her being hung up on Steve and nothing to do with Debbie?
Well, she's sort of a bit like, and it's, I actually noted this down, it's more to do with Cynthia Nixon's acting. Like, when mm-hmm. she's hiding under the bed and there's a great sort of very brief shot of her, like, sort of hauling her way out from under the bed, and she's like rolling her eyes, and you can tell she's, I think that she's trying, she's, you can sort of see that she's like, I'm being stupid here, like mm-hmm. I'm a grown woman and I'm hiding under the bed. And then when she's got lint all over her at the reception or rehearsal dinner or whatever it is. Yeah, so I think the takeaway is she knows she's being silly, and I think if I remember rightly, we get more of it, she realizes fully next week, think.
Does she meet Dr. Robert Leeds next week? When does Dr. Robert Leeds arrive? That's got to be soon.
Yeah, I was wondering that. Oh, because a few of our listeners have flagged that Jules and Mimi is based on a real show.
What real show?
It is based on ITV's Bob and Rose.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was about a gay man with a cisgender woman.
Oh, really?
It's a Russell T. Davis show, yeah.
Oh, wow. And it came out
so
in...
Bob and Rose.
I'm just looking it up now. 2001.
Mm. It was Alan Cumming of Jonathan Creek and Leslie Sharp.
Alan Davies.
Oh, Alan Davies. Sorry, Alan Cumming is somebody else. Oh, my God, I'm doing really well. Alan Davies of Jonathan Creek and... I'm Leslie Sharp, who is one of my absolute favourite actors. Uh-huh. I think she's an astonishing actor. That he is a gay man who unexpectedly falls in love with a cisgender woman.
Oh.
And I think he'd only ever got one season. I think it kind of came after Queer as Folk and wasn't quite as well received for whatever reason. But,
interesting.
However, I wouldn't say it was a fucking thing like Jules and Mimi.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because I wonder where this information is from, because like a few people said that, so there must be, it must be on paper somewhere that it was the inspiration.
Yeah.
But there you go.
There we go. So the question we need to answer is, when did it stop being fun and start being scary?
Hmm.
Do we have an exact date? I don't know.
March 2020.
Yeah. Oh, God. Well, that was when it... Okay, that was when it got really
scary.
That was
scary. When it got... We thought it was scary actually, before.
Well, that's really interesting, because actually, in a post-pandemic world, some smaller life events have been slightly cast into relief by... You know, we did go through something so traumatic as, like... a species to be told you need to go inside and not come out.
Yeah.
Like, as social apes, you know, we had to go through something incredibly difficult. So possibly now nothing, you know, selling a flat or starting to shop for a mortgage is never going to be as scary as perhaps it once was. Taking part in a trapeze class isn't as scary as... you know, shoving a cotton bud up your nose 5 times a week to see if you're allowed in a recording studio.
Oh, God.
Which is the reality of our life, kind of, sort of like. Maybe, I don't know, yeah, maybe this question is somewhat redundant in a post-pandemic world. And also the fact as well, we're living, you know, let's not forget, you know, the world is at war.
Yeah.
We have a war, we have a pandemic, we've been through recessions.
Yeah.
We're living in a time of kind of unprecedented kind of state-sponsored transphobia. You know, it's kind of, this is really difficult times, and it is scary. So it's funny to look back now at the early noughties. And, you know, when I was in my 20s, kind of, it's very hard to not look back at that with rose-tinted glasses and say, you know, that, yeah, life has gotten scary, because it definitely has.
I find it interesting when I watch, and we've touched on this before, I think, when I watch, like, shows from the 90s or noughties, and one of the characters will say, like, or say something like, I think I was watching Ugly Betty the other day that came out in, like, 2007, 2008. Golden years in my eyes. Mm. But one of the characters just says, like, oh, and the world's just so screwed up at the moment and people need some hope. And I was like, you don't even... In 2008, like, what? You don't even know what screwed up is.
Well, but do you know what? What's really interesting is when sometimes in the dark night, or when you wake up and see the front pages of the Times or the Daily Mail, yeah, and you're like, oh my God, you almost get nostalgic for, like, Theresa May or David Cameron. Yeah. And you're just kind of like, oh, can you remember when evil was just less evil? Kind of, like George Bush, George W. Bush. And, oh, Bush wasn't that bad.
It's just, it's got like, to the oh point, God. It's become cartoonish now, though. Like, whenever they do something now, I'm just like, why? That is just so, that's like kicking, that's like Cruella de Vil levels. Like, why are you doing this? And, like, what are you benefiting? Ugh, anyway. I was going to say with this question, when does it stop getting... Stop being fun and start being scary. I've noticed it on a more superficial level with my with my age, like, just physically. So I've noticed that, like, my body isn't as invincible as it used to be. On the way to my friend's a couple of weeks ago, he lives in one of those ex-council blocks with, like, concrete stairs, and I fell up the stairs. And fell and was like, okay. And this was like,
is it because you cheated on Natasha Biggs' husband? And so now you've fallen down the stairs.
Chipped a tooth.
Karma. Yeah, you chipped a tooth.
And I said, I see you. but my like ribs still hurt, and it was like a week ago. So yeah, not as young as I used to, but that was my takeaway anyway.
Wow. Yeah. I don't know. I think it's that ultimate question. Would you go back again? Would you do it all again? And no, I don't think I would. I certainly wouldn't want to be a teenager again. I wonder, it's about how do any of us return to kind of the level of insouciance that we might have had in our sort of 20s, while still also having all the great benefits of having your shit together? Like, All of my 20s, you know, I'm definitely, you know, doing an edit on my own life, because my 20s, I was skint, just skint all the time. I was working so hard, but I was always skint, never had any money. You know, had this constant sense of dread, like a real physical sense of dread that, you know, I was really poor. But I was also having a lot of fun. So it's kind of,
and I do think you don't mind as much as well when you're in your 20s. Although, like you say, it's difficult to know whether we're looking back on it with rose-tinted glasses, because I have a few friends who are in their 20s, and I do notice, like, a difference, and not in a bad way, but, like, I do notice a real difference in their behaviours, and I remember myself behaving like that. Just that kind of slight lack of pre-planning and, like, thinking ahead, which can be both good and bad. It means that something good that has come of not of getting a bit older and thinking about things a bit more is, while I sometimes don't end up in the wild situations I used to, I also know when to not end up in, like, situations that might be boring or miserable, or where I'll be queuing outside a club for 5 hours in the rain. I'm now old enough to be like, no, actually, I'm not going to waste my life doing that. So it's
mixed. You know yourself better as well. You know immediately And you were able to express that as well in perfectly acceptable words. Like, no, I'm not going to do that. That's not going to work for me.
Yeah.
Yes. So I think life is still fun, but responsibility is always scary.
Yeah.
And also we are living in scary times.
Yeah.
So do you know what? I think it's all right to be a little bit scared. Why pretend? Why, you know, possibly in the past I would have been like, no, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. No, maybe it's all right to be like, no, I'm seeing that the world is very unjust.
Yeah.
And it does worry me.
Yeah. So, healthy, I think, to say that. It would be slightly concerning to say anything else, I think, really.
A lot of people do. I was at a beauty treatment the other day, and the woman who was doing my beauty, and was like, oh, I just don't watch the news. It's just so depressing. I just don't want anything to do with it.
Mm.
And I was like, well, yeah, but you were a white cisgender woman. You know.
What is it?
I think being able to swerve the news is an option until the news is literally about you all the time, kind of.
Yeah, that's true.
Hmm. When did it stop being fun? Anyway, Sex and the City is still fun. Although, buckle up, listeners, because that's right. Next week, it's Juno's least favourite episode of Sex and the City of all time ever. Woman's right to shoes. Even the pun makes me want to pull my hair out. We will be dissecting why I feel this isn't my favourite, but also I'm ready to try and forgive it. Let's see.
And this is juicy because the week after is my favourite episode ever.
So I interrupted.
Yeah, so we've got your
least... my favourite as well.
Oh, nice.
Oh, it's everyone's favourite. Jerry Halliwell is in it.
Can't wait.
So anyway, yeah, don't go anywhere, basically. So we've got two great weeks coming up on the pod. So stay tuned, listeners. Like and subscribe. Thank you, as ever, for listening. And we will see you same time next week. Bye.
Bye.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.